And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. I mean, just making common sense like a superpower. All right, so we got a situation going on in Wisconsin. Let me remind you guys what's happening up there. I mentioned it briefly last week. Some of y'all probably heard it then. Some of y'all are tracking it on your own. I know I had one texter a while ago that brought it, you know, to my attention, even though I already had the resources ready to roll. But here's a piece from Fox News that just kind of outlines it. So I saw this past weekend. Senator Ron Johnson, who's a Republican from Wisconsin, he was on the Sunday Morning Futures with what's her name on Fox? I just lost her. Marita Bartiromo. And a great interview. And he's always a good interview anyway. He's talking about financial issues and fiscal responsibility and budgeting. But then they switch gears and they went into the election. It's his home state. And he said, if you want to see Trump be president and be effective for the next 4 years, he said, you've got to get out and vote for, and his name's Brad Schimmel. He said, this is a crucial race. By the way, in case you're not familiar, this is not a congressional race. This is not a race for governor. This is a race, believe it or not, for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Why do we care? Well, I'll tell you why we care. Because right now, the Democrats are already saying they see this as a battleground opportunity. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries has already said once, he said, we Democrats have to win this race, meaning that one, the Supreme Court race in Wisconsin, so that we can turn these Republican congressional seats into Democrat congressional seats. And literally, that's a total tip-off, isn't it? I mean, how much more obvious can you be? Because what we're looking at is the Democrats in Wisconsin believe that they can get the lines redrawn in a way that's favorable to them and potentially be able to quickly flip two seats coming up in their congressional races. Look at the margins we have right now in D.C. Two more congressional votes could make all the difference in the world. And the last thing I want to see, last thing any of us want to see, is another Trump administration hamstrung by a Nancy Pelosi witch hunt. All of a sudden you've got, let's do impeachments and let's do Russia, 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 and let's do everything in the world we can to stop the Trump agenda. First of all, I think this is a part of why Trump is not wasting time enacting so much right off. I mean, the first 100 days have been blistering, and rightfully so, because the last thing you want to see happen is something jeopardize the balance of power. They've got the ability to do it. But this race right now, this Wisconsin race, the Supreme Court of Wisconsin is believed to be potentially able to flip liberal for the first time ever on this one race. If that happens, the Wisconsin Supreme Court could very well be the body who determines whether or not the lines that are drawn for congressional races in the redistricting process are to be upheld or not. What that basically means is this one race could decide the balance of power in Congress. You see the trickle-down effects? Maybe it's trickle-up. But the reality is, this is a big, hairy deal. So right now, I mean, last night, literally, Elon Musk held a rally in Wisconsin for a state Supreme Court race. Trump endorsed the guy named Brad Schimmel, who is the Republican. Elon Musk has raised and donated upwards of $10 million for this one guy. It's the most expensive state judicial race in history, anywhere. The Democrat is someone named Crawford. What's her first name? Let me see where it is here. Susan Crawford. Susan Crawford has earned financial support from liberal billionaire George Soros. Oh, go figure. Millions have been poured into her coffers as well. And listen, I don't know who this group supports. They say they're bipartisan, but there's a group called Fair Elections Wisconsin that is now submitted as of 2 days ago. I got this off of LifeSet. 2 days ago, Fair Elections Wisconsin raised concerns about nearly 5,000 allegedly illegal voter registrations just in Milwaukee alone. I take it back. It's got to be statewide, Milwaukee. Okay, they filed it in Milwaukee. 4,878 registrations they're calling into question. Now, is it all legit? I don't know. Some of them, they say, just have missing apartment numbers, things like that. But they found hundreds that had moved out of the county, moved out of the state. Hundreds who were no longer living where they said they lived when they voted. I'm not sure how they check all this, but the reality is they are saying they've got proof that there's at least 5,000, almost 5,000 votes that shouldn't even be counting. And that's what we're talking about today. Elections have consequences. So there you have one of the most consequential state-level elections in recent history in Wisconsin. At the same time, you've got questions about whether or not their voter registration is current and accurate. So what we're looking at now is every election having the potential to affect every other election. And it all starts with registering people to vote with accuracy. You've got to be able to register people to vote who are otherwise allowed to vote. And then once they vote, you accurately tabulate the vote and then certify the vote in a timely manner. All those things have to happen. And voter integrity is more than just, did you count the votes right? Sometimes voter integrity is, who's even signed up? That's why it's so important that what just happened in Wyoming, which seems to support what President Trump did in his executive order, is what we're going to talk about. Coming right back, I'm going to have Wyoming Secretary of State Chuck Gray. You're going to want to hear what he has to say about how Wyoming has already taken steps that I think Alabama, Tennessee, and all the rest of our states need to take. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Meatloaf Monday, because it's always about the food. But yeah, Meatloaf Monday, and the topic right now we're talking about is election consequences. So do elections have consequences? Yes, and there are consequential elections. And I'm telling you, it's going to take conservatives not laying down and allowing things to just happen. And I was proud to be in the state Senate in Alabama when we passed voter ID. Big deal. We were told we were racist. All the things were bad and everything was going to the chicken little. The sky was falling and it didn't happen. And now we have these really tight elections that we actually get the results back that night and no one's disenfranchised. Go figure. But there's still more that can be done. You know, we've had the Alabama Secretary of State, Wes Allen, on multiple times as recently as last week, talking about the efforts to clean up the voter rolls and to do things that, you know, work with other states to clean up our rolls and compare information. Well, one of those that I have most recently come aware of is Wyoming's Secretary of State, Chuck Gray. So Secretary of State Chuck Gray from Wyoming, he's been in office since 2022. Prior to that, he was in the Wyoming House of Representatives. He's a former radio guy, by the way. KVOC out of Casper, Wyoming, had his own radio show. In March of 22, by the way, he announced he would run for Secretary of State, was endorsed by Donald Trump, won the Republican primary, won the race. You'll also be interested to know that aside from the fact that he works hard on election integrity issues, that he's also part of the reason why Liz Cheney is no longer in office, and I'm glad to have that. Without further ado, Secretary of State Chuck Gray, welcome to Right Side Radio. How you doing?
Phil, great to be on. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, listen, if I say things like y'all and stuff like that, you understand what I'm saying, right?
I understand it, and I love it. Good enough. Great to be on.
Hey, listen, by the way, you've been a conservative warrior. We call those Right Side Ruffians on our show. We can see it in your record, and you've been a CPAC award winner. But I love what you have been fighting for and really even fighting your governor over for election integrity in Wyoming. Tell us about it.
We had a huge week for election integrity here in Wyoming and nationally with the passage in the 2025 general session of House Bill 156, which was proof of citizenship and proof of residency for registering to vote. This has been sort of a two-year process getting this through. In 2023, we actually brought a rulemaking. It's my first year in office as Wyoming Secretary of State. We brought a rulemaking to require proof of residency for registering to vote and put procedures in place to stop illegal aliens from voting, because we really saw this issue of stopping illegals from voting coming to the forefront, the need for us to address this and to have upfront proof in place of citizenship and proof of residency. And unfortunately, the governor decided to veto that rulemaking in early 2024.
Wow.
Literally on the same day, Phil, as President Trump announced with Speaker Johnson that they were going to be bringing through the SAVE Act, which is proof of citizenship for registering to vote at the federal level.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that juxtaposition. You have this weak insider, rhino Republican governor who is vetoing the very thing that President Trump and Speaker Johnson are putting forward in early April 2024. We didn't give up. We said we're going to go to the legislature in the 2025 general session. It became our number one priority, election integrity priority, bringing through proof of citizenship and proof of residency for registering to vote. We got it through the legislature, and the governor, in a decision that was handed to me about a week ago, the governor said that he would not veto the bill, even though he also said he would not sign it. But we had a very forward-thinking founders in our state, and they put into our state constitution that a pocket veto is not allowed. So either the governor has to explicitly veto a bill, or it becomes law without his signature. So even though he wouldn't sign it, it became law without his signature, and it sort of capped off a two-year standoff with the governor on this issue, and I'm glad he backed down, and it was the people of Wyoming that won when he did.
I think absolutely. By the way, we still have the pocket veto in Alabama, and it's very frustrating at times to watch that happen. I think if the governor has not signed the legislation within 15 days of the legislature ending its session, it is considered vetoed automatically at that point.
I guess you have the opposite out there.
Oh yeah, we do. It's not good. But I'm assuming that you and the governor in Wyoming don't have Sunday brunch together on a regular basis.
We've had a back and forth really going back to when I was a legislator, and the Secretary of State also serves as the second in command for the state. That's in our state constitution as well. So it's also sort of the lieutenant governor. And so we're always in politics. You know, it's very weak. And I've been working for over a decade to grow the conservative group in the legislature and also in statewide elected office. And we, just this last cycle, are the first state in the nation to have a Freedom Caucus majority in our state house. And he's very upset about that, so we're in a lot of back and forth trying to bring through, as we bring through conservative items to the legislature, and also bringing to the forefront when he's not honest, I mean, which is all the time, frankly.
Oh, my gosh. Well, listen, we could talk all day about that, but let me go back to the citizenship requirement. So it almost feels like common sense, and yet we keep having to legislate common sense because we're always dealing with people who don't have common sense, But with regards to the proof of citizenship, what do y'all accept as proof of citizenship, and what were the arguments against you doing this?
Well, the arguments, it's that same group, the insiders, the Democrats, the media, that same group we see at the federal level. And then also, Phil, I know you being involved in state politics, I'm sure you've seen down there in Alabama, and they trot out these same golden oldie arguments, those arguments that they think we want to hear, but we don't. And this time it was the same thing. I mean, they say, well, it blocks access. There's a broad consensus for these measures. Scott Rasmussen just released polling, Phil, 2 weeks ago, that over 90% of Americans support proof of citizenship for registering to vote. Over 90%, Phil. I mean, and that's not just supermajorities of Republicans and independents. I mean, that's also supermajorities of Democrats. That's the only way you get to 90% nationally supporting this common sense measure.
I like to say that if you tried to poll, do you love your mama, you wouldn't get 90%.
Exactly. I mean, you're absolutely right. But on election integrity items, there's a broad consensus. I think it goes back to the 2020 election fiasco, and that brought to the forefront the need for us to bring forward these election integrity items. And, of course, President Trump is doing great work signing this executive order last week as well on advancing election integrity.
So when folks in Wyoming now come to register to vote, what documentation do you accept as proof of citizenship? Do they have to have a birth certificate? Do they have to have what do they have to bring with them?
When they register to vote, a Wyoming ID, meaning either a driver's license or a state-issued ID, which we issue for free to individuals that have renounced their license, say if they're elderly and they don't want to have a license anymore. So we issue for free Wyoming ID, which has the same security measures as the driver's license.
Right.
And because we're real ID compliant, we have that citizenship check. So that's sort of the one way to be able to register and show that proof of citizenship. And then, of course, the passport counts. And it goes all the way down the list to a birth certificate if you don't have a driver's license or a Wyoming ID. An out-of-state ID that complies with Real ID because it's Real ID compliant also satisfies the requirements of the act.
Okay, and I don't suspect there'd be any trouble with the military. I don't recall what military presence there is in Wyoming, but I would assume if someone is transient, like they have an ID from a different state because they've now been assigned there in a military capacity or something like that, that you still honor that and there's no problem there.
Well, exactly like you said, that's why we allow those out-of-state IDs that are Real ID compliant. Also, military ID that has that citizenship check is compliant. Proof of residency is also part of that, and the documents that are compliant with that are different. So if you have an out-of-state ID that you show, driver's license, that will trigger further documentation that needs to be shown for the proof of a residence requirement, but that's different from the proof of citizenship requirement. So when you think about it in terms of election integrity, you have election integrity items at the time of registration. And that the gold standard would be proof of identity, proof of residency, and proof of citizenship. That's the three boxes. And then when you show up to vote, you're on the voter rolls, you prove who you say you are with voter ID. And that's voter ID. And so that's sort of the process from tee to green for election integrity.
Well, the reality is this is supposed to be common sense. And I think there are most countries in the world care about who registers to vote for those that are Democratic. The idea that we haven't done this before, you look at it and go, why are we just now doing this? I mean, this should be common sense. Well, it's because we've never had so much of a need as we do now. And when we get back, if you don't mind, I tell you what, Mr. Secretary, if you don't mind, could you hang on during a break? We'll take a quick break right now, just a few minutes, and then we'll come right back. I want to jump into the executive order and the SAVE Act, which is still pending in D.C., and how it lines up with what you did in Wyoming, all right?
That'd be great, Phil.
Okay, thanks so much. We're on right now with Wyoming Secretary of State Chuck Gray. Man, he's been leading the nation, if you get down to it, at what it means at the state level to require proof of citizenship when registering to vote. It's really common sense. But then again, we keep having to legislate common sense. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're going back to the phones with a special guest. Wyoming's Secretary of State Chuck Gray is doing amazing work out there, leading the conservative cause for election integrity, among other issues, by the way. But election integrity is what we're talking about today. Mr. Secretary, thanks again for being here on Right Side. We appreciate your time. We really appreciate what you're doing. Let me ask you this. What you guys did in Wyoming, which is a state model, really kind of mirrors what we're seeing with regards to what's known as the SAVE Act, which is still stuck in Congress. And then we also have Trump's executive order. How do they all mesh together?
Well, we're really working on this issue of proof of citizenship for registering to vote. And the SAVE Act is basically an attempt to have proof of citizenship for registering to vote, particularly targeting states that are subject to the National Voter Registration Act. That's 44 states. Now, Wyoming is one of the six states that technically is exempt from the act. That goes back to the early 1990s when, because Wyoming had same-day registration, we're not subject to it, and that's why it was part of why it was very important that we put proof of citizenship for registering to vote in our election code. But this SAVE Act, which is being brought up for a vote this week, it's being debated in House Rules this afternoon in D.C. and could be up for a vote as soon as tomorrow, but we're thinking that it might also be Thursday, is proof of citizenship for registering to vote at the federal level for all the states that are subject to the National Voter Registration Act, and then it requires the six states that are exempt to have a very similar requirement in their respective election codes. So that's what is being brought to the Congress, and then the executive order from last week, really great executive order from President Trump. And I'll tell you, Phil, I mean, this 100-day a press release. When it comes out, it's going to be like a book for the first 100 days of the Trump administration. I mean, they are getting so much done. He's doing an awesome job. And this executive order requires the federal voter registration form, which is part of the National Voter Registration Act, to have a proof of citizenship question, meaning that the executive order requires proof of citizenship as part of the National Voter Registration Act. The executive order also really ramps up voter list maintenance procedures and orders agencies of the federal government to partner with chief election officials around the nation, like myself, to partner with us on data sharing to ensure that only citizens are voting, that only residents of the state are voting. And then it also puts in place a request of the Department of Justice to prioritize election integrity, and particularly prioritizing the issue of foreign funding of elections, which was also work that we did in the recently completed legislative session to close some loopholes in federal law, in state statute, to ensure that there is no foreign funding of elections. And that's in a pivotal part of this executive order as well.
You look at some of this and you think, it's amazing that we're having to do this. But you go back and look at the 2020 election that we had. And then since then, the influx of millions upon millions of illegal aliens across our borders. And you realize we'd better do this now. We better pass the SAVE Act. We better get these executive orders. And we better have more states do like Wyoming did to protect and preserve our ability to have trustworthy elections, or we're going to wind up just watching it all go by the wayside one day.
Absolutely. We have to be proactive, and we have to respond to the problems that we've seen. One of the things in the executive order, which is just another common sense item, is a requirement that states not accept ballots after the polls close. That's pretty common sense. Once the polls close, that should be the stopping point. And some states do accept ballots after the polls close, and it's been an enormous problem. Now, Wyoming, we say that all the ballots have to be delivered when the polls close. All absentee ballots have to have been delivered. Now, other states, they'll take them as long as they have a postmark for weeks.
Yeah.
And that's why this counting takes weeks. And so one of the many things that President Trump's executive order does is it says that we're going to have a requirement all the ballots need to be received. All the absentee ballots need to be received when the polls close.
Well, Mr. Secretary, I got to leave it there. We got about 20 seconds till the music starts playing, but you are indeed a right side ruffian. We're going to make sure you get one of our t-shirts. I really appreciate the work you're doing. I appreciate your time and stay in the fight. All right.
Thanks, Phil. Great to be on. Stay in touch.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Wyoming's Secretary of State. I mean, on this show, we will go out and find people anywhere and everywhere who can lend to the right side ruffian message. And you guys just heard a great one right there. That's Wyoming's Secretary of State, Chuck Gray, who's been at even odds with his own Republican governor for the last 2 years, trying to get legislation passed that would just basically say, hey, you know what? If you want to vote in Wyoming, you got to actually have an ID. And oh, by the way, you got to prove that you're a citizen of the country. How about that? Is that hard? It shouldn't be, but apparently it is for some people. How about this? Alabama and Tennessee, we need to get on board. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.